Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
All right, we are jumping straight into John chapter 14, verse 7 to 10. This is a really amazing passage. And if you're wondering, what should I study with the Lord this week? Do this one. I'm going to read a snippet of it. It says, this is Jesus speaking. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that'll be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Jump to verse 18. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. There's so much more in this. There's so much gold in here. But I want you to see two things. The first is that Jesus is the perfect representation of the Father. If you want to know what the Father is like, look at Jesus. He's the perfect representation. He's everything I did, everything you see in me, that's the Father. And then secondly, he says this, makes this comment, I will not leave you as orphans. He's saying it to his disciples. They all had parents and things. They weren't orphans in what we may understand to be. He says, I will not leave you as orphans, because Jesus didn't just come to teach the disciples some skills and how to do his work. He was fathering them. Jesus was fathering the disciples. That's what, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. And we see even when he first calls them, he calls them first to be with him, right? In Mark chapter 3, verse 14, it says, he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and have authority to drive out demons. You see, before mission, before ministry, before miracles, he chose them to be with him, and to do his will. And he's come to restore us back to Eden. That's what it was like. The original design, our right posture before God was to walk with him, was to be with him. That was the greatest desire of God's heart. And it's still God's greatest desire and invitation to you and I is for us to be with him and then partner with him. It's not just a call to do something or to a behavior or to fulfillment of a role or a purpose or to measure up to something. No, but it's to be with him. Why? Because the foundation of every calling, every good work, every assignment, being fruitful is sonship. Being with the Father. You can't bear fruit if you don't abide. And that brings us to this wonderful account of Peter in John chapter 21. It's on a beach with Jesus cooking breakfast over a fire. And I want to unpack four facets of the Father's heart today that he wants to minister to us, that's going to help us to see him rightly, that's going to help us to fulfill who God's called us to be. I'm going to go from verse 15 to 16. Are you ready? You good? You're in? You're on? All right, here we go. It says, when they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And then again, he asked Peter a final time, similar response. Now, you got to understand, this moment with Peter happens after Peter's chopped off a guy's ear. Like, he whipped out a sword in a moment of like fury, cut off a guy's ear. He's denied Jesus publicly three times. And he's gone back to fishing because he probably truly believed that he had blown it. Like, I don't blame him. Peter's last interaction with Jesus before the cross was failure. Like, imagine carrying that. Like, that guy died and I'm carrying this thing of failure. I let him down. I wasn't there. And what happens? Jesus sits with him and he asks him one question. And he doesn't ask him, why did you deny me, Peter? Not, why did you fail? And not, why didn't you have my back out there? Why weren't you stronger? No, he asks, do you love me? Because the Father's heart is not after performance. He's just after your heart. And that's the first key today. The Father's heart wants your heart. He wants your heart, not your performance. You see, in our world, everything is about performance. You know, good grades, good behavior, hit your KPIs at work and you're valued, you're a good employee, you know, you'll be valued, have a good image, a good reputation, have it together, do what you need to do. But God's love doesn't work like that. He's not a coach shouting, do better. Come on, man, do better. No, he's a father saying, just be with me. Just be with me. You know, when Shiloh was about two, she loved worshiping with me, and we were at Connect Group one night and in this time of worship, and she toddles over next to me, and I thought, oh, this is going to be awesome. She's going to worship with me. Like, how good am I? I'm a pretty good dad, you know, like pastor of the year right here. You know, if they say if you can't lead a kid at home, you can't lead here. You know, like, she's going to worship and like, you know, look at this, you know. But she doesn't. She doesn't worship. She just comes and sits at my feet and she just plays. And even though that was my initial mindset, oh, she's going to come, like, in that very moment, I actually didn't care what she was doing. I just loved that she just wanted to be with me. And I heard the Holy Spirit whisper, Shannon, you think I love you more when you do things for me or when you do godly things, but my heart just loves that you just want to be with me. And you see, Peter had not performed well. And Jesus still came to sit and to eat with him. And that's the Father's heart. Maybe you think you've not performed well. You haven't been the best Christian this year. You've missed Connect. Your Bible is dusty. You feel guilty every time we talk about prayer or serving. And yet God's not disappointed. He wants to sit beside you and cook your breakfast. He already loves you deeply, fully, completely, because you're his son, because you're his daughter. And you see, if we don't have a heart connection with the Lord, our relationship with him becomes transactional. It means everything is kind of about performance. It's about doing. And then we find ourselves just like any other religious thing of trying to measure up to a deity. That's not the Father's heart. Some of us, maybe many of us, actually grew up feeling like we had to earn love. We had to earn approval. We had to earn belonging. And so we bring that into our faith. We take the world on our shoulders, we rescue everyone, we people please, and we call it being faithful. But underneath it, we're still trying to prove ourselves to a Father we're not sure is fully pleased with us. We need to encounter the Father's heart today, church, to learn how to enjoy the Lord's friendship, his fathering, his affirmation, not beating yourself up for not measuring up enough. You're a son and a daughter before you're anything else. That's your first title, your top title. Everything else is secondary. You know, you're a son before you're a minister, Shannon. You know, you're his daughter before you're a businesswoman. You're his son before you're the head of your department. You're his daughter before you're a leader in your family. And God's heart for us is, would you just be with me? He wants your heart. And for those of us where this performance and productivity has been such a that almost feels like just to be with me, that's really unproductive. That's like what? He wants me just to sit and like hear from him and talk. Yes, he wants to just be with you. And what he does in that space is what blesses and sets up everything else. As we'll see, we'll keep going. So he wants your heart. And secondly, the Father's heart is to restore your calling. You see, after Peter failed, Jesus doesn't say, well, let's start again with maybe a lesser role. Like maybe be like an assistant disciple. You know, why don't you just carry John's bags and follow him for a bit? No, and he doesn't say you've lost your chance, mate. You really cooked this. Let's look at again at this in 20 years. No, he says, take care of my sheep. Feed my lambs. Jesus reawakens the very calling Peter thought was dead. You know, in the book of Romans, it says the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. He doesn't take back what he gives. He doesn't take back what he said to you. And so maybe you used to dream. Maybe you used to serve. You used to hear his voice. You used to really burn for God. Maybe you used to believe you were called, or you used to actively share your faith, and maybe life or disappointment or your own mistakes convinced you it was over. Maybe you stepped out once and you got hurt, or maybe you've stuffed up morally and so you just kind of quietly benched yourself. Or maybe you still come to church, but somewhere inside you've said it's just about surviving now, not serving. Jesus looks at you. He says, do you love me? Okay, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Take care of my lambs. You know, one more thing we can consider in this space is when people around you fall short, how do you respond? Do you cut them down? Do you make them feel the disappointment? Like, yeah, that'll help them really not do it again, you know? Or do you continue to see and speak the call of God over them? Because perhaps our behavior is like this because we think that's how God's responding to us. That's not his Father's heart. His grace meets us where we're at and he calls us upwards every time. He calls destiny out of us. He says, this is what I have for you. I'm for you. Hear this. Your failure doesn't cancel God's calling. And grace restores what shame buries. That's what he does. And so the Father's heart is to restore your calling. Now, restored people need restored hearts. And so Jesus doesn't just reinstate Peter's calling. He actually tends to his soul. We go back to verse 9 and then 12. It says, when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it. Oh, burning coals. He's having a braai. You know, all the saffas there. He's got a braai going on. And with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now, the passage tells us that when Peter arrived, Jesus has already made breakfast. Before the conversation has even happened, because I reckon there's a few people thinking there needs to be a conversation about what's happened. Before the confrontation, before the restoration, Jesus had already prepared a meal. The Son of God, resurrected from the dead, had cooked breakfast for the man who denied him. Some of us don't even want to make coffee for the person in the office that annoys us. But that's the Father's heart. Before instruction, mission, the right behaviors, getting yourself back on track, it was restoration, it was belonging, it was grace. That is the Father's heart. And then we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Number three, the Father's heart is to care for you, is to care for your needs. You see, I've got a picture of my family. Put my picture up on my family. This is my family. It's Caleb and Shiloh and Pastor Tam. Didn't she do an awesome job at emceeing just now? She doesn't love emceeing, but I know she's an incredible minister, and we're going to keep getting her up here. She's amazing, and so thank you actually for leading us in that moment. It was really powerful, but this is my family, if you didn't know. And while I was in Cambodia last month ministering in the conference, we took a prayer ministry team. It was an amazing team, probably one of the best trips I've ever had to Cambodia. My kids were at home sick, vomiting, diarrhea, the whole thing. And everything in me, like I know I'm supposed to be ministering, I'm supposed to be here, and I know that matters, but everything within me just wants to be back home and hold them and help Tam and carry the weight. And I just felt the Lord say, if you, as a very imperfect father, feel this much love for your children, how much more do I care for you? How much more do I care for you? And I am not a perfect dad, but he is. And some of us has believed that God is disappointed, that he's busy, that he's frustrated, or that he's distant. But scripture says you can cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He is longing and looking for any and every moment to care for you and to wrap his arms around you. And look who wrote that. Peter. Peter wrote that. That's a full bottle revelation from Peter, who encountered this very care of Christ right on that beach. The fire, the bread, the restoration. He felt God meeting him in his place of great disappointment, and he lifted him out. That's the Father's heart. You know, Peter had gone back to fishing. Maybe that was his escape. Maybe that's symbolic of some of our unhealthy escapes or habits. Maybe we run to addictions or to coping behaviors or things when we actually lack a healthy attachment and connection to God as our Father. Because the Lord wants to care for us in those spaces where we feel lack, where we feel emptiness, where we feel something we need to comfort us. And then the reality is, we can't give what we don't have. We can't be about others or reach others. We can't give what we don't have. And when we're trying to give something all the time that we don't have, that's how people burn out. If you don't let him care for you, that's how you burn out. Because you see, he's not impressed by your ultra independence, by you running yourself into the ground for a noble cause. Oh, I'm preaching to someone today. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A lot of burnout isn't overwork, it's orphanhood. This need to stand on my own two feet to show how capable I am, that I can get it done even in the name of the Lord, it comes from not understanding who we are in him. That we do this in him and with him and through him, not just for him or on his behalf, to impress him or to prove that we're worthwhile. God, see, I am good, right? Trying to do the Father's business without the Father's heart, It's not sustainable, and it won't bear lasting fruit. And so even if we got the greatest intentions and motives of, yeah, I want to help out at LoveCom Day, I'm trying to reach my neighbor, doing all these things, if it doesn't come from a posture of understanding the Father's heart for us, we'll flame out by the end of this year. Some of you are exhausted, and you've convinced yourself that it's sacrifice. But underneath, it's actually fear. Fear that if you stop, it'll all fall apart, or you'll be exposed, or that God will be disappointed. Where in your life have you been the strong, independent one for too long? Because he's inviting you to let him in, to let him care for you, to let him carry your burdens, so that then you're free to run with him, for his joy to be your strength, for you to know that you are safe and covered and can live at rest. That's the Father's heart for you. This is meant to be a good time. He wants to care for you. Judson, why don't you come up and help me? Just sit up on the stage here. Judson's going to be you and I'll be God because I get the microphone. So sometimes this is how we think God sees us. Back here at a distance saying, man, when you finally get yourself sorted, then we can talk. Or then we'll do something good together. Or maybe we think he's kind of standing like this, looking down at us, disappointed, like, are you still at that place? You should have done better. But we're still here, like you still haven't got that, you haven't dealt with that. Neither of these postures are truth. The Bible says when you draw near to God, he draws near to you. So the moment you even consider moving close to him, he's down and in it. I want to be in the mess with you. I'm your Father, right? And so he wants to sit with you in your pain. And he wants to be there in that place to care for you. He wants to comfort you when you're down. He actually wants to walk with you in your doubts and say, yeah, I'm okay to do this journey with you. He's looking to be right here with us. But sometimes we're pushing him away. We're thinking, yeah, but I haven't, or I should have, or you told me that 6 times. Or no, God's just like, hey, you want to draw near? I want to draw near too. I want to be with you. I created you to be with me. Thank you, Judson. We can clap for Judson. It's a good segue while I walk back up, you know. Good transition. We got to understand the Father's heart towards us. And we got to see it in Jesus. Jesus is the perfect representation of the Father. And he's not distancing himself from you. Man, that's the whole reason he put Jesus on the cross, so there would be nothing that could ever separate you from him. Why would he then distance himself? Doesn't make any sense. It says all sin, shame, guilt was taken off. So there is no condemnation in Christ. He's not looking down upon you, waiting for you to pull it together. He knows you couldn't pull it together. That's why he's here, to be with you, to walk with you. That posture of him standing over you in disappointment, that breaks today in Jesus' name. He hasn't distanced himself from you. That's a lie straight from hell. That's got to finish today too. He sits with you in love and he walks alongside you. That's the posture of your Father, your heavenly, perfect Father. You know, I think about David himself in the Bible. He was an absolute man's man. He was a warrior, slayed his thousands. But when you read the Psalms, man, he knows how to get real with God. And he pours his heart before God and he says, where are you? And my enemies are around me. There was no filter there. And he allows the Lord to actually meet him there, he pours out his heart and God meets him there and fathers him and pulls him out of that space of defeat and into truth and into faith and a care for him. You see this, you read a psalm and it starts pretty down and out, but by the end, but the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. He's my strong tower. He'll never let me go, right? Because he allowed the Lord to care for him. And that's the invitation for all of us today. The Father wants your heart. He wants to restore you, your calling, and he wants to care for you. Will we let him? Because you see, once Jesus restores Peter, what happens next? Man, we look in the book of Acts and Peter stands up. He's bold. He's fearless. He's full of the Spirit. 3,000 people are saved in one go. Like, who is this guy? That's not the guy literally denied Jesus to a servant girl. And he's now become this man who's carrying the gospel into the nations. Why? Because, man, he encountered the heart of the Father. Jesus met with him on that beach. And when you're loved on by the Lord, when you're restored and you're cared for by him, man, you're ready to be sent. And this is how mission works. Peter wasn't then standing up as the man who'd failed. He was standing as a son, heart restored back to the Father, calling affirmed, ready to go all in the Father's business. You know, the religious leaders even said, man, Peter, he'd been with Jesus. Because there's an impartation from being fathered by the Lord that empowers you and impacts those around you. It's what the world is looking for. Even Jesus himself, he was ministered to by the Father's heart when he was baptized. He said, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. We need God to minister into us, to know, to call us out as those sons and daughters. And it's that father heart encounter that preceded him fulfilling the divine call. It's from there he was sent into ministry. Because sonship leads to sending. A restored identity releases an impactful destiny. And so being with the Father leads to doing the Father's will. And so my fourth and final point is that the Father's heart is for you and I to join the Father's business. You see, in Jesus' day, if a young man wasn't chosen by a rabbi for further training, he would learn his father's trade. So they'd learn the Torah up until 12 or 13, and then most would then learn their father's trade. And so you would work along your father every single day. You watch what the father did. You then represented the father if you were anything that you were going to do. And the father provided everything. The son didn't get a wage. The father just took care of it. Whatever was needed, the father provided everything. And then one day the son would step out to continue and expand the father's business. This is what Jesus is talking about. We're not workers for a master. We're sons and daughters in the father's house, invited into the father's business, loving people, reaching the lost, healing the broken. It's his heart. And he says, you want to come do it with me? And so Reach Sunday next week isn't about meeting a need. It's about joining the father in what he already cares about. It's simply sons and daughters joining what's already on the Father's heart. God's not trying to squeeze something from you. He's trying to grow something in you. And so when you know the Father's heart, reach isn't pressure, it's partnership. It's really exciting. And so when you prepare for next week, don't ask, okay, what do we have to give? Ask, Father, what are you doing? And how can I, as your son or your daughter, join with you in your Father's business? What you're up to? How can I partner with you? Because the Father's heart is for you to join in the Father's business. The Father's heart is he wants to have your heart. He wants us to be with him. And even that, for some of us, is probably a practical challenge this week. Can I just learn how to be with him? How can I learn how to sit at the feet of my Father? And I mentioned Shiloh doing that as a two-year-old. Maybe that's actually what some of us need to do, is actually position ourselves back as the child. And him be Father and allow us into that space. But the Father's heart is to have your heart. And the Father's heart is to restore your calling. You're not canceled. You're not finished. You didn't mess it up. He's bigger than that. He loves you much more than that. And he wants to care for you. Some of the reasons we're running out of steam is because we're trying to carry it all ourselves. It's actually an orphan mentality. He's like, hey, let me be Father. Let me be provider. Let me be the one that takes care of you so you can keep running, so you can be free, because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. And the Father's heart is for us to join in the Father's business. He's not asking you to slave away. He's asking you to come hand in hand and let's do this together. And so just quickly, because this really matters, Luke 15, it's the story of the prodigal son. I just want to quickly touch on it. It's a powerful story of the love and grace of the Father towards those of us who have wandered away. But have you paid attention before to the older brother? He lived in the father's house and he hears the celebration of this younger brother that's returned and he gets mad and he won't go in. So his father goes out to him. And we read in verse 29, it says, but he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, or my child, the father says, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. I'm believing for the lost to be found this Christmas more than ever. But when we look at the older son, he says, all these years, I've been slaving for you. Maybe some people here have had a similar thought. You know, he thought what it meant to be a son was to slave and to never disobey. Don't put a foot wrong with the father, the master. And he'd missed the father's heart this whole time. Slaving in the father's house. He was an orphan in his father's home. And you see, we can be in God's house. We can be in relationship with God, but completely miss his heart towards us. What do you believe about his heart towards you? You know, when he says, my son, my child, in the Greek, the father actually calls him technon. And that word, it means child, but it was the word of the most tenderest affection. My son, my child, my technon, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. Man, the father's going to minister this today. Everything I have is yours. My heart, my presence, all the resources of heaven, it's all yours. Don't live like an orphan. Don't live like you're slaving away for my approval. I approve you. I love you. I'm 100% committed to never leaving you, to doing this all with you. See, the epitome of the father's heart is that every son, every daughter would be with him. And out of that nearness, that complete acceptance, that safety, that assuredness of who we are, that comes. And from there, we fulfill the call. We partake in the Father's business to see humanity know the Christ in us. And so when you know how loved you are, when you know how close he is, that drives and fuels your loving and reaching of others. And so we're not loving and reaching this Christmas because that's what we should do. That's the Christian thing and it's Christmas time. We always do this reaching stuff. No, it's because we love him and he's so loved us that we want to partner with him and carry his heart into this world that doesn't know him. Imagine if today every single one of us encountered the Father's heart. And maybe those areas of fear or separation or striving broke off your life. Because that's what perfect love, his perfect love does. It casts out all fear. It removes that fear of punishment. And then we lived as this newer posture as sons and daughters. Could we find ourselves more like the Peter we saw in Acts? No longer scared, no longer defeated or labeled, but in complete security, knowing he's chosen and affirmed by the Lord. What might God then do through you in your family, in the city and in the nation? We need to know the Father's heart, amen?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.